You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
And today we're going to look at the thankful leper. Now, one of the things about this particular parable is it's actually not a parable. Yeah, that's right. Why is it not a parable? Well, because a parable is a story fictitious to actually illustrate a truth. But the one that we're looking at today is actually a historical account. It really did happen. And so we're kind of slipping it in to our parables of Jesus. But it's technically not a parable, okay? But it's still going to be a great message for all of us today. And it is Thanksgiving, as we've said. Did you know that the earliest recorded Thanksgiving in Canada was in 1758? And it was actually, if you look up into northern Canada, there's a place called Frobisher Bay. And there was an explorer named Martin Frobisher, and he had 15 ships, and he was trying to find what was called the Northwest Passage. And they ran into some incredible problems. At one time, one of the ships was lost, and the other 14 were scattered. And miraculously, through the snow and the ice, they all were able to re-find themselves back in the bay together again. And because it was such a miraculous deliverance, when they could have, you know, and you can imagine 1758 being, you know, inside the Arctic Circle without the, you know, technology that we have today with no GPS, no anything. It was a miraculous thing that they were able to come together. And so at the end of it, the person in that convoy that was dubbed like the chaplain or the minister of them, this is what he said. He was a learned man appointed by the magistrates' council to be their minister and preacher. He made unto them a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance in those so dangerous places. And then they celebrated communion. And so there's a little bit of trivia for you as far as historically the first time. The traditions of the food were actually imported from the USA. So Canadians didn't always do the turkey thing. What happened was after the Revolutionary War between the United States and Britain, the people who wanted to stay loyal to the Queen, they were called, for those of you who studied Canadian history at all, they were called loyalists. And you can even, because they were loyal to the crown, and they worked their way up into Canada, and they brought with them the traditions of the turkey and the cranberries and all the different food and things. So even though that Canada had celebrated, not every single year, but oftentimes the idea of a false festival of celebration of Thanksgiving, where we get sort of some of the stuff that we traditionally eat is actually imported from the U.S. Now, when we think of Thanksgiving and when we think of Canada, just to set up this sermon today about the thankfulness, we're going to look at 10 lepers who were healed today. But you think in terms of Canada, sometimes you think, well, it's always been this rich, you know, first world nation and things. But the Thanksgiving idea arose because there was many times in our history here and not too distant past where it wasn't like that. My grandmother was born in 1900, and then she went to be with the Lord in 2001 at 101, and she went through what was called the Dirty 30s, which in the 1930s was also known as the Great Depression. Both of my parents grew up during those times. Sheila's dad tells a story how the whole winter here in Canada, in Ontario, all they ate was turnips and lard and bread for an entire winter growing up. There was a economic downturn worldwide, but it was especially compounded negative difficulty for Canadians because they had a bunch of things going wrong for them, basically, especially in the western provinces of British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, which were heavily dependent on natural resources, the wheat, mining, coal, fishing, things like that. Because of the downturn in the commodities market, they were particularly hard hit. And then, if to not make matters worse, it was something called the Dust Bowl. And that was when across U.S. and Canada on the prairies, where there was incredible winds and things, and it swept away, and there was soil erosion, and so they didn't even have food. And so it was especially hard. In fact, at one point in the dirty 30s, in the Great Depression of the 1930s, in Canada, the province of Saskatchewan had 66% unemployment. 66%. And it gave rise, actually, to a lot of what we call Canadians, you know, we believe in the free market, but the social net of Canada, that there was a temperance. And out of the 1930s, there was many new political parties that came up and said, look, you know, we have got to create an equitable society where if these things happen again, that we're prepared for it and we're able to help one another. And so you also see through that time, Canadians' free enterprise economy is tempered with, you know, a sense of a well-being and a sense of a great social welfare system as well. And you can see that that's why we had it. It was because of the terrible depression of the 1930s. One more thing about the 1930s. If you were getting married in the 1930s, because everything was so poor, a typical present that you might get was this. This is 1930s. It's called Depression glass. People couldn't afford real crystal from Europe and Czechoslovakia and things like that. And so what happened was the glass manufacturers began to produce just basic glass. They would press it and put some color in it, and you could buy it for about 5 cents. And that was a typical present during the 1930s. And now in thrift stores and things, you can find this, and you know, it's worth more than 5 cents. I think this bowl might be worth $10 or something like that. But you can still pick it up for cheap. But it's interesting. It's just a reminder, you know, that Canada didn't always enjoy the prosperity that we enjoy now. Even in my parents' lifetime, there was great hardship in this land. And so there is a lot to be thankful for. And if you get bored with the sermon, you can just maybe pass that around, and maybe someone can even take it home with them if they convince me to be nice. If you really tune in and you learn lots from this sermon, maybe you'll be the star student. You'll get to take that home as your reward. So let's pray as we get into the Word of God. Father, we pray today that you would open up our hearts and our minds to your Word and what you have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read the parable, first of all. It's recorded in Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well, so this is an actual account. Now, leprosy. In ancient days, the disease of leprosy was incurable. And because it was contagious, people who had it were quarantined. They were put outside the city. And so we actually see a mixture of actually Jews and Samaritans. Now, Samaritans were despised people. They were half-breeds. They were mixed culture, race. And in those days, if you were a mixed race, it was, you were an outcast. You were looked at very negatively. And so the Samaritans were. But if you were a leper and you were diseased, well, you could just throw the Jews and the Samaritans and everybody into the quarantined area and just, who cares? They're lepers anyhow. They've got this terrible skin disease that's incurable, and we don't want to be around them. And there was a great stigma for them, because the other thing is, if you had leprosy, you were actually, by law, required to call out and say, leper, leper, I'm a leper. Like, you had to announce that you were contagious, basically. And so you can just imagine, the only people that you got to hang out with were other people who had this terrible disease. And so there was a great stigma about having leprosy. And if it went into remission, or if you happened to be cured, it went away, then what you had to do is you had to go show yourself to the priest, and he would examine you, and he would say, okay, the leprosy's gone, you can go ahead and enter back into society. But can you imagine getting leprosy and being separated from your family, being separated from your friends? I mean, just, you know, it would be a terrible thing. I mean, could you imagine just being, what if one of you, if you were a child, you know, or you know, a university student, your age, and all of a sudden you got this and you had to be separated from your family, from your friends, from everybody. I mean, it would just be a terrible state. And you might think, okay, now Jesus healed, you know, what about healing? Is this healing like, is it really, is it story? This is why I said this is not a parable. Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. He came to earth at the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas as a man, but as God, the creator of the universe. And so you might be thinking, well, I don't know, like miracles, can we really believe in miracles? Can we really believe in miraculous healing? Here's how, what helps me understand miracles itself. I examine the universe. And when you think of the universe, if you ever watch those, you know, shows, if you like the science shows that come on about talking about the universe and how they're discovering, you know, more and more galaxies and all these things. And now they're talking about not just are there, you know, billions of stars in a galaxies, but they're saying there's billions of galaxies. And when you just can't even fathom the size of this. I think I might have a picture of just think about, you know, that vastness and the potential, just the design of all of this and the vastness and the greatness, you know, of God. And so when you think about this, if God can fling out a billion galaxies and he can create the complexity of order and everything else, then God, who is greater than our space-time continuum, who, because he created it all, then he can enter into it and he can create whatever he needs to create, whenever he needs to create it. And so to believe in the God of creation and to believe that all these things were made, then it follows that he is so big that he can display his power. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus wanted to make sure that everybody understood that he was God. He said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. And so he did this. He displayed. He didn't heal everybody, but he did display his power. And he displayed the fact that he was God. And so he healed these 10 lepers. But you might ask then, well, why did he tell this parable? Why this parable? I think that might be the question on the screen. Why the parable? And the answer, I believe, is because we all have a problem with thankfulness. We all have a problem with thankfulness. Think about it. Okay, now I have 4 children, and I learned this before I had 4 children. But when they were little and grandma or someone would give them something, then I would have to tell them, now say thank you. They would never say thank you on their own until we drilled that into them, that the thing to be is be thankful. You know, say thank you, be thankful. It's all of us have a problem with thankfulness. It's something that we don't necessarily want to do. And I believe that Jesus wanted to bring this parable out to help us to understand the whole concept of thanksgiving and why it's important. We all have things to be thankful for, big and small. Think of it. You know, you may say, you know, I'm not much of a follower. I'm not really a church person. You know, my friend drug me here today or whatever, but I thought I'd come to their church. Well, but think about it. Whoever you are there not times when you look back in your life and you can say, wow, I was miraculously saved at a certain time? Like maybe it was a car accident. Maybe you were sick as a child or something. I can remember times in my life where, you know, I was doing stupid things and it could have went bad. Or there was just situations. You know, I think everybody's got a story to tell of something where they can analyze their life and they can look back at a certain situation or circumstance and they can go, I could have been dead right there. Or I could have really wound up. And for some reason, something, some invisible hand or twist of fate, however you look at it in your own life, spared me and saved me. I think that everybody has things to be thankful for, no matter who you are. There's always these things in our lives. I remember a story of my wife's mom had a friend who was going to take a boat trip over from Europe to North America, and 2 days before she ended up getting sick, and she couldn't take the trip, and she was bummed out because she couldn't take the trip. But you know what the boat that she missed was? It was called the Titanic. And she lived the rest. She took a later one and ended up growing up here in Ontario. But what a story to tell. What a story to tell for that. So there's always these things. Maybe they're not that dramatic. But there are things in our lives that we really have to be thankful for. So our problem with thankfulness is not that we don't have things to be thankful for. Jesus plainly stated that all these 10 lepers were healed. But the question is, why was only one thankful? Or our question, why did the 9 not turn back and give thanks? And why did the 1 conversely? And so I thought about this. I meditated on this. I thought about just human nature and how it interacts with these 10 lepers who were all healed. And I think that there's some things that I'm beginning to see in them. And I think the first of all, I've got 3 reasons why I think that the 9 did not return to give thanks. I think the first one is that the 9 felt entitled. They felt entitled. You see, they were the chosen people of God. And if you look at the book of Deuteronomy, it says, if you follow God, that I will put none of these diseases on you. So in other words, right there, they were like, hey, we're God's chosen people here. You know, I should not have these. You know, I am one of God's chosen people. There's a covenant that says that this is really not my lot in life. I shouldn't have to worry about this. This is not the life that they imagined, nor the life that they thought they deserved. And I think a lot of times the reason why, like them, we are not thankful like we should be is because we feel entitled. You ever heard that word, entitled? Here's the definition of entitled. Believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. That's what it means to be entitled. That somehow we deserve privileges or special treatment. Now, when I was growing up as a kid in sports, if you were the best player, you got a trophy. But when my kids grew up doing sports, all the kids get a trophy. Now, I'm not saying it's like all bad, because I think you should encourage the kids and things like that. But at the same time, things like that might be able to inbreed a sense of, like, no matter what I do, I should get the prize. No matter how I perform, I should get. And so we can pick up an entitled attitude that regardless of our performance, we should win the prize, you know. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it stopped the 9, but also stops us from really being thankful like we should for the things that God has done. Secondly, I believe that the 9 overestimated their part in the healing. Here's what's interesting. Jesus didn't heal them and then say, go to the priest. If you look closely in the passage, he said for them to go show yourself to the priest. And then as they were going in faith. Now, you got to understand, they have leprosy. Okay, they have leprosy, they're quarantined, and they're not allowed to go out into public. If they go out into public, they're risking others, and basically they could be shot, not with a gun, but I mean, because they are out of their place. I mean, arrows, whatever they use in those days, slingshots, crossbows. I mean, you could get, because what were they doing? They were risking the whole society, you see? And so Jesus told them, you see, they had heard that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was healing people. And so when Jesus was passing through this area, they started yelling out, "Jesus, heal us. We heard about you." And he said, "Okay, go show yourself to the priests." He didn't heal them and then tell them to go. He said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so they had to take a huge risk. They were risking their lives massively. When they stepped out of that and they started to go to the priest, like, "Look, this is all or nothing, guys, because if we're caught outside the quarantined area, we're dead." But they took a massive step of faith, and as they took that step of faith out, they were healed on their way to show the priest. And I think maybe if I was one of them, I'd like, "Wow, man, we did it. Man, we're people of faith. We took that huge risk. We risked it all, and man, now we're healed. Whew, this is so great." And it's hard not to be excited if I was in their shoes. Perhaps they focused too much on how their great faith contributed to their healing. They did have a part to play. They believed Jesus' words. They acted on them. They risked being killed for leaving the designated place for lepers. But they overestimated their part in the healing. For those of you who are familiar with the prodigal son and elder brother story, I think they had elder brother syndrome. The idea that, you know, the elder brother, if you know the story of the prodigal son, the older brother was saying, "Man, I can't believe, you know, when the father brings the prodigal son back and throws him a big party, the older brother's like, 'Hey, man, I was always good. Why don't I get all of this? Come on.'" It was like, again, that sense of elder brother, "Hey, I've done all these things. I deserve this. You know, God, I've done all these great things for you. I deserve this. I deserve better." But here's what Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, this is what he said about God's grace in his life. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me." And so we see the proper attitude towards the part that we play in God's blessing in our lives. We return the glory back to him. Yes, he worked hard, but it's the grace that was in him. Number three, I believe that the nine were too focused on their blessing. I mean, one sense, do you blame them? I mean, what if you were a man and you were separated from your family, say, for 10 years, and you haven't seen your kids for 10 years? What if you're, you know, a teenager, 15, and you're 25, and you haven't seen your friends or family? I mean, and all of a sudden you're healed and you get a chance. You can show yourself to the priest. He looks at you. "Hey, you're good to go." Bang, you're back in. I mean, you're just so excited. You're focused on this. Here it is. What about our lives? How many times have we enjoyed the good things God has done for us, but really never given back to him as we should? I mean, we can look at those bad lepers. "Oh man, they're so bad." But they didn't come back. And Jesus expected them back. He expected them back. You know, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Why is there only one? So here's a question, you know, for all of us. Here it comes. It's strong. Can you handle the blessing of God? Can you handle the blessing of God? What do you do when God blesses you? Do you just enjoy it? Just, oh man, this is so good. This is so good. Thanks, God. See you later. I'm going to enjoy my blessing now. I'm going to enjoy my blessing. It's so easy to do. You know, a lot of us, you know, we're going to university. We're not making any money. We're trying to figure out how to make it. You know, the offering plate goes by. It's like, oh God, you know, I don't have much to give. I'll give a little. But man, when I get that job, man, I'll really give. And then you get the big job. And then what happens more often than not? Oh man, I got good pay now, man. I'm going to get my stuff. We all do this. We all do this. We all forget. We all forget all the good things that God has done. Or maybe God partially answers our prayer, but not fully. In other words, it's progressive. And so we're like, well, you know, I don't want to be thankful because I asked for, you know, this and God gave me this. And so because I didn't get all that I was hoping for and believing for, I'm not going to be thankful. Instead, it's like, instead you're focused and I'm focused on the gap. Well, I really needed this and I only got this much. And instead of being thankful, this is me. This is what I do. I'm setting my face for something. And it like partially, you know, I see a partial fulfillment. And it's hard for me to say thank you for the step that God has already blessed me towards the ultimate fulfillment of what I'm hoping for. So I think we're all struggle. Can you handle the blessing of God? I look at that and I have to reflect on my own life. Can I handle the blessing of God? Can you handle the blessing of God? You know, what happens to your heart when God does bless you, when he does bless me? Now, the interpretive key to this whole story, I believe, is this one line where it says, now he was a Samaritan. Speaking of the one person who actually was thankful, it was pointed out, Jesus pointed out that he was a Samaritan. He was one of these mixed race people who they say that Samaritans being mixed race were considered perpetually unclean because of their mixed race ancestry. They weren't really Jews, but they weren't really a part of another people either. And so they were this lost people. He was a Samaritan. That, I believe, is the key of why he was thankful over the other nine. Didn't say the other nine. It's the only difference that were pointed out between the two is that the one who gave thanks was a Samaritan. That's the only difference that we know between the ten that distinguishes them. So think about it. Because he had no promise or blessing from God, he didn't feel entitled. In other words, he had nothing. Well, you know, I'm part of chosen people. He didn't have that. And so he didn't feel entitled. And because he wasn't feeling entitled, he wasn't looking to self as much. And because he wasn't looking about himself as much, he was able to focus on Jesus instead of the blessing. Isn't that amazing? Because he didn't feel entitled, he wasn't self-absorbed, then he was able to look up and he was able to go, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And here are the actions that he took to express his gratitude. Number one, he turned back. He's like, I just can't do life as normal. I mean, instead of going off, it's like, I got to stop. I got to go back. I've got to go back. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for me. He couldn't continue life as normal. Like a lot of us, it's like we get the blessing and then we go on with life. Another blessing, please, God. Another blessing, please, God. Another one, another one. You know, he turned back when he was healed, when he was touched by Jesus. Secondly, it says that he praised God with a loud voice. Now, I don't believe that you literally to show, you know, how much you love God that you have to go around yelling, okay? Like, I think If you're down at Dundas Square, don't yell, okay? There's better ways, believe me. But it's an attitude of heart that he wasn't ashamed of his God. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. He let it be known, and he praised God. He wasn't ashamed. He's like, man, God healed me. Now, and I think for him, it was so amazing that I think it was just a spontaneous thing that he did. He praised God with a loud voice. He wasn't ashamed. And then thirdly, it said that he didn't just go back to Jesus, but it said he fell at Jesus' feet. It wasn't just a thank you. Hey, man, thanks, bud. It wasn't that. It was a thank you that resulted in deep worship. In deep worship. Saying, what is worship? It comes from the word worth and ship, worth. What do you find worthy? What is worth? Whatever is worth, you worth ship. You put worth towards it. And basically what this healed man said was, Jesus, you're not just useful, you're beautiful. You're not just useful, you're my God and my Savior, my Lord, and I bow down to you. In a sense, it's a posture of heart to say, you've done so much for me. Now, is there anything I can do for you? You see, and that's real Christian worship. It's not we do things to get God to love us. We respond to God's love. We respond to what he has done by laying down our lives willingly. He fell at Jesus. Now, if we find ourselves more like the nine than the one, what can we do? When I thought about this and I thought about what the nine did, it wasn't like all that they did was wrong. It just needed an adjustment. It just needed an adjustment. And I think that for us to go from the category of the nine to the category of one, we have to make those same adjustments in our lives. So, because of the work of Christ our Savior, entitled, no. Royal, yes. We're not entitled, but God does call us royal. So there is something where when God forgives our sins and calls us to himself, in 1 Peter it says that he calls us a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And so entitled, no, but royal, yes. We are now children of the King. But I think the distortion of understanding the royalty of being part of God's family, the distortion of it is the entitled. So, secondly, remember it said that they were excited about their faith. I think the adjustment is like, instead of my great faith has done it, no. But like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, God has given me grace to believe. Yes, God loves faith. He loves it when we move in faith. But when we move in faith and we are able to do things, it's not like, oh, look at all I did in faith. Man, I moved. I did this. I did that. No, our attitude's got to be, God help me obey. He gave me strength to step out. And so we're, instead of putting the focus on ourselves, we put the focus back on God. And then what about so excited about the blessing? Instead of, I love the blessing, we say, I love God, the gracious one, who does bless us in Christ and heavenly places. So instead of, I love the blessing, I love the God who blesses. See the difference? I'm not going to love the blessing, I'm going to love the God who does bestow blessings. And so I think in Thanksgiving, I think if we see Jesus in the way that the one saw him instead of the nine, I believe that we can have an amazing Thanksgiving weekend. Amen. Let's pray as we conclude. God, thank you for this true story of the nine and the one. And just by having the nine and the one, we know that the temptation is to be more like the nine than the one. But God, we believe by your grace, we've heard a message today from your word that can push us all into the category of the one, to be the thankful leper. Because the fact of the matter is, all of us are lepers. All of us have been stained by sin's power. All of us, God, are fallen. All of us, God, have things in our lives, God, that are stains, that are unclean. And only by your grace and only by your blood are we cleansed by you. And God, even as it is Thanksgiving, we just want to thank you for this amazing nation that we're in right now, and our city, and all the things that you have blessed us with. And as we have celebrate the rest of this weekend with a long weekend, I pray, God, that we would all have hearts full of thanksgiving today for all the things that you have for us, but most of all, that we would be able to put our focus not on the things that you give us, but on you yourself, the one who has given us the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.